It's good to be back. It's always a joy to come together. It's always a joy to worship God. You know, and I, singing that song, I can't help to but think about being thankful for my family. I'm thankful for y'all because you're my family. We look around and we see love for one another and love for God. I remember the diagram that was used in a marriage enrichment seminar that was in a triangle. And we've got the man and the wife. And the closer that they drew to one another, the closer they got to God. Does that make sense? The more we grow in love to one another, the closer we get to God. Well, I think that you can't dismiss that from the family of God. The closer we grow to one another in love, the closer we grow to God. And I really believe that we need to keep that in mind. I mean, it's something that our love needs to grow, and it needs to grow always. And I have been so thankful to share in your all's love and be a part of that. But I know that it needs to continue to grow because I always know there's a problem on the horizon. And I know that the Satan is going to do his best to hinder our love. And he doesn't want it to keep going because he doesn't want us to love one another more because he wants us to get further away from God. And so I'm thankful for our love. I love y'all. And I'm very grateful to God that he has allowed me to be here and a part of this. We go back to Mary and her gratitude and we look at that ointment that she put on Jesus' feet. I want us to note here that in verse 5 of John 12, Judas Iscariot looked at this ointment and he made a statement about that. He said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Do you remember the householder that went to the market and said, "Go into my vineyard and work for me today, and I'll give you a penny." That was a day's wages. 12 hours. 300 pence, figuring you work 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, comes up to about 300 pennies. She took a year's worth of wages and she broke it. Notice it says that
$14.3,
but it's another context that shows that it was broken, I think. It says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." This was a pretty costly stuff, and from what I understand, once it was opened, I think it was spoiled. From what I understand, spikenard is an aromatic herb that's grown in the pasture land of the Himalayas between Tibet and India. Then it was transported on camelback through miles and miles of mountain passes. Have you ever seen any pictures of those passes through the Himalayas? They didn't have helicopters back then. You could just fly it out, okay? And a jet airline you can transport to the other side of the world. This is in a long ways away, okay? Here on the map, we have this taking place right about here. And way over there is India. It's a long ways away. And so it was transported on camels, and it was a very costly aromatic perfume. And of course, it was a lot of money. How much are you willing to sacrifice for God? You ever thought about that? How much is it worth to you? Is it worth your time? Is it worth effort? Is it worth your money? What's it worth to you? She gave a year's worth of wages to anoint the feet of Jesus. That says a lot. And I'm convinced that the reason she was willing to make that sacrifice was because she was grateful for Jesus. And I sometimes wonder about our gratefulness. Some of the little sacrifices was, I don't want to do that. You know, it takes for my time. I'd rather be whatever. Take your pick. Flying an airplane? Bob wouldn't. Carmen would. But are we going to make the sacrifices to do what God says? Is it worth us to make that sacrifice? Okay? We can go make money instead of obeying God? We could go fishing instead? Okay, I like fish. I think I'm about the only one here that likes fish that much. So I try to pick on me too. And I don't know everybody's world here. I don't know exactly where your things are. And if I could think of it, I'd probably use it as an illustration. You know in your mind what's really important to you. Okay? I'm not trying to leave me out. I'm trying to cause us all to think about for a minute. When you're thankful for something that somebody's done for you, show your gratitude. Jesus died, guys. He died. We don't want to give up 5 minutes of our time a lot of times. You know? I read, I think it was the article from Jerry Joseph in St. Peter's Church of Christ. They helped support us here. Was that where it was? Did you read it, Becky?
I haven't read it. I just saw the email.
But he made the comment in his article, you know, we've got time to watch TV. We don't have time to read a Bible. How much it cost you? You know, the purity of this sacrifice that she gave to Jesus is shown in the fact that it was very costly. And I think the one that I had in mind was in Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. And that's the one I had in mind. My mind didn't come together at the time. But in Mark chapter 14 verse 3, we see this event taking place. And it says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he said at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box full of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head." And there, in my understanding of studying this context, once it was broken, it had to all be used. And it's not like you can just take a, you know, break it and take just a little bit like we do in our little spray bottle, squirt a little bit out, and the rest is still good. There was something about breaking of this that it had to be all used up. And so this is a pretty costly stuff, and it's a great sacrifice for her to make that and do that for Jesus. And of course, you know, it cost her something. But you look at the response here in verse 4, and those that there were some there that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made?" You know, a lot of times people look at the things we do as Christians and say, "What a waste." You know, why would you do that? You know, why would you waste your time going to worship when you could be out whatever? Why would you waste your time to go do something nice for somebody when you could sit at home, watch a TV show? You know? Dream up what you want to dream up, but put it in your own world, okay? And that's the point. People look at what we do as Christians and they think, why is it so ridiculous? Why is it so important to you? Sometimes we need to learn that it's important. And I'm going to use you for an illustration, Roy, if you don't mind. We talked about recently about when you first became a Christian, you barely had time to make it to Sunday morning worship.
Correct.
You couldn't see, why is it bother? What's the matter? Who cares? And then now he looks back on it and he says, man, I had no clue that it was so amazing. And it's hard for people to understand the importance of the assembly, but then those on the outside, do they recognize it? No, they don't understand it. Now, Roy, he doesn't want to miss now because he's learned the great value of breaking the box and making a sacrifice. But have you learned that? Now, me and Roy have other areas in our life we need to learn to break the box, probably. And hopefully God shows us where it's at. What box needs to be broken in your life? Where are you not willing to make the sacrifice? Are you grateful? And I think that's what it all boils down to. And, you know, as I began to think about a Thanksgiving sermon, you know, I'm thinking, you know, what do we want to do here, you know? Well, gratitude. It's all about thankfulness in our heart, which shows in our actions, in our life every day. And when we're willing to make sacrifices for the things that God has done for us because we appreciate it, you know? I make sacrifices for Dorothy because I appreciate Dorothy. And I want to do the same for you. Everybody here. Because I appreciate you. Because you know what? You know why I appreciate you? Because I appreciate Jesus. And my gratitude to you shows my gratitude to Jesus. Hey, look. I can't separate the way that I treat you from the way I treat Jesus. Because the way I treat you is the way I treat Jesus. And so I want to be thankful to God for all He's done. And even though it may be a challenge at times, and even though I may not feel like, I may feel like I'm making too big of a sacrifice, it doesn't matter because it's not too big. So I'm willing to do it. And so it was costly. It was also humiliating. Now think about it for just a minute. She got down on her hands and knees. In some religions today, they still think that they forgot the context of John 16 and they're still washing one another's feet. Okay? This goes on in Jamaica, and there are some religions here today. They forget the fact that Jesus said, "You don't know what I'm doing." Okay? He's down there washing your feet. He said, "You don't know what I'm doing." They knew He was washing their feet. Okay? Fact of the matter, they didn't know what He was doing. He was showing about service, and that's what we do. But I was told in Jamaica by a group of people that were involved in that, and they said that on foot washing Sunday, they kind of jockey to see who gets to sit beside who. Because there's some people's feet they didn't want to wash. Are you following me? Where's the sacrifice? Okay, the fact of the matter, it is a sacrifice. But if you get to wash somebody's feet that's washed them before they come to church, you're a whole lot better off, right? No, you're better off to wash the feet of the one that didn't wash their feet when you came. You see, we got to understand that she put herself in a humiliating situation. And how do we look at her today? We've got her right up here on a pedestal, and we look up to that woman and say, she is totally amazing. But are you willing to be humiliated?
Are you willing to do the low job? Do you understand? See, these are the things that Jesus is trying to get us to see. He told us about Mary and what she did. I really believe to show us about service and about where we need to be willing to put ourselves as we show our gratitude to Jesus for what he has done. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, the passage says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." I would rather get down on my hands and worship the feet now of Jesus than to wait till the judgment day. Because I'm going to bow the knee. Okay? There's people that refuse to bow the knee to Jesus right now. And they refuse to be humiliated in that perspective. Because the world looks at that and says, "Oh, you're stupid. What's wrong with you? Why would you give in to Jesus? Why would you do this Jesus stuff? It's a bunch of nonsense." Well, you're going to have to be humiliated today, or you will on the day of judgment. I will guarantee you. But I guarantee you, you live it now and you'll be proud to bow the knee to Jesus on day of judgment. You'll do it with thrill, with excitement in your voice and with your step. You'll be ready to go because you know that, number one, you've learned how to humiliate yourself. Now, we don't want to humiliate ourselves. We want to be the top of the king of the mountain. Isn't that the game that children play? See who can be the last one off? Well, every knee is going to bow. Why don't you give up your will now to Jesus? Instead of waiting till the day of judgment. I don't want to wait till then. I want to do it now because I will have the blessings now. But then I'll really have the blessings that really count later. It's always been amazing to me how God blesses us today. Now that doesn't mean we all have the same kind of blessings. Some of us just have some wonderful opportunities. Some of us have this. Some of us have that. We're all blessed, truly blessed, with what God knows that we need and is good for us. And a whole lot more than we deserve. But I want to give into Jesus now for eternity. Because I want to go to heaven. You know, this service performed, this humiliating act of humbling ourselves now is very likely going to bring criticism from those around us. You know, and I see this a lot of times as I try to encourage people to make changes in their life and to turn it around. And you know, they don't want to. They got their friends and look at them and say, "What's wrong with you? You're crazy. You know, why would you want to do that? Go party like we've always done and go do the things we've always done." It says, as the Apostle Paul was preaching, it says, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.'" So some people are looking at the teaching of Jesus and they say, "You're crazy. You're stupid. What do you think you're doing? You believe this nonsense? You must really be empty-headed because you believe this stuff." And that's what's going to happen sometimes when we tell people about being grateful to Jesus by our actions. Okay? Now, it's nice to talk a good game today, and everybody thinks that's so sweet. You talk about Jesus and how you love Jesus, and everybody, "Oh, that's so wonderful." But what does the action show? Okay, because if the action don't show it, it's empty words. Remember that faith without works is dead in James chapter 2? That's what it's talking about. If the actions aren't there, the life isn't there. And so we need to be willing to take the criticism from the world around us. We've got to be separate from the world. And that doesn't mean we don't ignore the world and stay totally away from them. And there's some that try to do that. But that's not what we do. We're just different than they are. We have a different attitude. We use different words, and we don't use the same words that the world does because they're filthy words. And God says, you know, don't let any filthy communication come out of your mouth. And so everybody looks at you and say, "What's wrong with you? Why don't you talk like the rest of us?" Because I'm grateful for my Jesus, that's why. I can remember... I've worked in the factories, okay? I've heard all the talk. and they make fun of you because you don't laugh at their degrading jokes. And they call you some kind of a religious fanatic. I've had that happen. I know what it's like. But you know what? I didn't give in. And I was glad. I didn't follow their lead. And I can look back with pride and not with shame for spitting in my Lord's face. He died for me. You know, the interesting thing about this, when we live for Jesus, you can't hide it, guys. There's no way that you can hide your life when you're living it for Jesus. When you have a gratitude for Jesus, it's going to be apparent to all of those that are around you. In John chapter 12 and verse 3, "As then took Mary a pound of ointment of smycnard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." I want you to feel, James, where do we live? Newton. My past gets in my head and I forget where I'm at. I want you to fill Newton with the odor of your ointment. I want people around you to know that you're a part of Jesus' kingdom. I want it to be an obvious thing. I want it to be something that will attract others to you so that they can learn what is so great in your life that makes it so good. The odor of that filled the whole house. And the odor of your actions and mine filled this town. It permeates into the people that are around us, and they know. Whether it's stink or it's ointment. They can tell. And you and I have the responsibility to make sure that we have a gratitude for Jesus, that we will make sure that our actions are aromatic in a proper, attractive way. They might make fun. They might criticize, but that's okay. So that's just they're jealous because they don't have the guts to do the right thing like they want to. They got to follow along with the crowd that does the things they shouldn't do. And they stink like the manure that they were stepping in with those sandaled feet and somebody had to wash off. We don't want that. Everybody knew, and this is the way with being a Christian. Your life will show. It will be obvious to those that are around you. And when your life changes, people around you see. They can't help but see. And I've seen it over and over. And I guarantee you, if you're grateful for Jesus, it's going to be seen by those that are around you because they're going to see it as obvious. Let them see it. Let it be the light that draws them to it from their darkness. Be that shining light. This gratitude that Mary had has effects. To begin with, we've talked about Judas. And now, Judas was upset because he was hoping to steal some of that money. Can you imagine a thief watching a year's worth of wages go up in aroma? It's all gone. And he's thinking, man, we could have sold that and I could have stole half of it. In 4 through 6 of John 12, as it then says, one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. You got to wonder, why did Jesus put him in charge of the money? In his wisdom, he knew that was the right thing to do, guys. But on the scope of things, Judas criticizes. Sometimes sometimes I look at Judas's example, and always as I'm reading the scriptures, I know that God put them there for you and me. And so, what is it that God wants us to recognize from this? And I think we see within Judas an example of why so many people don't like it. Why so many people don't want to make any sacrifices for Jesus. You know, they criticize and they look at this way because they won't accept it. Guys, I'm going to tell you, a long time ago I had to decide, if people tell me no, they don't want anything to do with what I'm trying to share, I'm going to go on and find somebody else that wants it. There's a lot of people in this community that I believe that want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, they don't know it. They don't understand it yet, but they're looking for it. And you and me need to take it to them and show them. If they criticize, they're not the one. Somebody else is. So go to the next one. And we just need to find people that will hear. That's our job. And if it's like Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and tear you up. That doesn't mean we won't try. But there's sometimes we shake the dust off our feet and go somewhere else. And we need to do what it takes. But you know what? I think that's part of the reason people won't accept it. Sometimes people don't accept because they're afraid of criticism. How many of you like criticism? Nobody's raising your hand. What's wrong? Oh, man. Some people don't want anything to do with criticism. And they figure they're going to be criticized. Are you afraid of being criticized when it comes to this? Now, I'm sure you're afraid of being criticized in every other area of life. But in this, you just need to take it. You need to be willing to go forward and give it all you got, because we're talking eternity, okay? Whether you go to heaven or hell. That's what it's all about. Right? And so don't be afraid of that. Some people see a lack of gain. You know, and I've known people personally that chose a church to go to based on the financial gain that was involved in going there. I knew that because they told me that. Okay? I'm not speculating. And so, you know, I've seen this involved. And so I've seen these things come, you know. I've seen people come in and they say, well, there's no girls my age, so I'm not coming back. Sometimes people say, well, there ain't no young children, so I'm going to take my family and go somewhere else. I've heard it all. And so the thing is, we need to come to Jesus based on what He says. We need to come not for what we can get, but for what we can give. Number one, we need to come based on what Jesus says. Okay, it's got to be what Jesus teaches. If it's not what Jesus teaches, we got a problem. Okay, we need to backtrack. We need to go back and find out, what did the Bible say? And so, I believe that is so very important. I'm convinced it is, because the Bible says that it is, guys. I think we need to understand there is actually a great gain in following Jesus. And it may not be in the realm of monetary gain, but there is a massive, a lot of gain. And in Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, I see this, and it's so big in my life because I recognize it. Jesus said, well, back in verse 28, then Peter began to say to him, lo, we've left all and have followed you. What do we get? Peter, James, Andrew, and John left a prospering fishing business. Just dropped the nets and left. Left their family and took off with Jesus. And Peter says, Jesus, we left everything. What are we getting out of this? What's in it for us? So Jesus comes back in verse 29 and he said, truly I say to you, There is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. There's a lot of gain in following Jesus. I'm telling you. I am blessed with the most wonderful family on the face of this earth. And I love you. You're the greatest family that anybody could ask for. I appreciate you so much. I love the relationship that we have and the bond that we have and that bond is growing better, you know, as we get to know one another. Isn't that neat? I love it, you know. Well, and I appreciate that. And because that love is shared and it goes back and forth is what makes it so great. Guys, we get so much from following Jesus. There is great gain in accepting Christ and putting Him on in baptism because we become a part of a great family. In Mark chapter 14, verses 4 and 5, the passage says, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her." So other people join in their criticism. It just wasn't Judas. You notice how a lot of times it takes one person to speak out that gets a bunch of nonsense going? Sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut, okay? Judas started this mess. And then it gave others courage to go forward. And so they were all jumped on the bandwagon. Yeah, Judas, you're right. That should have been saved. All these poor people, we should have took care of the poor people. Jesus said, you've always had the poor with you and always will. Take care of me now. That's not quite a quote, but it's basically what he said. He said, they're important things. You're going to have opportunities all your life to take care of poor people. He was getting ready to go to the cross. In verses 6 through 9, it says, "And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Jesus is happy with the sacrifice. I think we can get so out of sorts sometimes with one another's sacrifice. They were upset with her sacrifice and they condemned her. You know, a lot of times I think people may not understand your sacrifice. If it's okay with God, it's okay. You know, obviously your sacrifice must be proper. I read the story of somebody that nails himself to a cross for a few hours every Easter or something. I don't remember what it was. And I'm thinking, that's not what Jesus asked. He's saying, live for me 7 days a week, okay? He's saying, do the right thing. That's not what it's all about. Jesus is pleased when we make sacrifices for Him. You know, and this is the key, guys. Jesus is going to be pleased with you if you humbly come to His feet and give in to His will. Each of us is an individual and we've all got our own struggles. And as we think about this, each of us think about the struggle that we're dealing with where we're having a hard time giving in to Jesus. And so I want you to think about this within the context of your own world and your own struggles, because that's the way the Bible is. The Bible is dealt with in such a way, or written in such a way, that it affects you and me where we're at. And I think that's why the Word of God is so quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, the cutting and dividing asunder of the soul and spirits and the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There's something about that Bible that it gets into each of us's heart when we're listening to it. And in our mind, we're making some applications. Hopefully we are. And it gets to us wherever we're at and whatever our struggle is, because our conscience, I guess. I don't know. The Holy Spirit, you know, God working with us. And I there's so much I don't understand about God working, but I know He works. Let Him work in your life. But this is where you and me need to humbly come before our God and give in to His message. And we need to ask ourselves the question, am I at the feet of Jesus? Am I at the feet of Jesus? We need to ask the question, how much do you offer? Beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this present world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how much are you offering? That which is easy to give? That which comes handy? That which offers no sacrifice or requires no sacrifice? How much do you offer to Jesus? The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Are you crucified with Jesus? Or are you still serving yourself? And you can't serve but one. Okay, it's either you or him. And if it's you, it's Satan. That's what, you know, Romans 6 and verse 16 says. And so we need to, you know, Jesus is going to be pleased with your best. Not second best. Are you giving Him your best? He expects the first fruits. If there's anybody that needs to respond to the invitation this afternoon, for any reason, do it now while we stand and sing.